I've got a practical question about shared bin. Could you please walk me through the experience of filling a shared bin with someone while having a conversation, while relating with, for example, now with you?
But do you feel that you have your own, that your body mind has its own package of being, and that my body mind has its own package of being, but both of which are stop at the border of our skin? That that would be like believing that your bedroom and my bedroom are two separate spaces. Are they two separate spaces, or are they the same space?
Yeah, the same space, but in my experience, I experience my being, but for example, when I look at you, I somehow feel there is a person.
It's because you look at me through the lens of perception.
Okay,
Remember,
so
William Blake, this life's dim windows of the soul distort the heavens from pole to pole. This life's dim windows of the soul, your eyes, distort the heavens, distort reality. Your eyes are like a filter through which you perceive reality, and reality appears in accordance with the filter. Well, your filter perception breaks reality up and makes it appear as numerous shapes and colors and forms. So you think that what you're looking at is a separate person or a separate object, or that's just because you look at reality through the lens of perception. It's like when you look at snow through orange tinted glasses, the snow appears orange. The snow isn't orange, it doesn't have a color, but it appears orange. Of course, then it's more like when you look at through, it's more like if you have contact lenses on, yeah, and your contact lenses are tinted orange, but you've been wearing them for the last 20 years, so you've forgotten you're wearing them, and everything is tinted orange, and you don't realize it's because of your contact lenses. You just think the universe is orange. And so perception are your contact lenses. You're looking at reality through the limitations of your perceptions, but you've forgotten that you're doing so. You think you're looking at reality through the clear windscreen, through clear glasses. You're not. You're looking through tinted glasses. But because you've forgotten you are doing that, because your culture has persuaded you that you're looking at reality through clear glasses, you believe that the orange color you're seeing, in this case, the multiplicity and diversity, is inherent in reality. No, reality is one and infinite and whole and indivisible. It is your mind that projects multiplicity and diversity onto it.
So let me describe then, let me dismantle the decompose the experience of the so-called other person. So it would be like I'm experiencing an image of you, and as we said with Katia, the visual image is just knowing. I hear your voice, and again, it's like the words appear in this knowing space, and then the knowing with which you are experiencing is the same knowing with which I'm experiencing, no?
Yes, that's true. The consciousness with which I know my experience and the consciousness with which you know your experience is the same consciousness.
So if I'm having a conversation with you, then who is having a
David,
conversation?
just for a minute, I want to just go back one step. Just close one of your eyes. Yeah, no, just one of them. Look at me through one of your eyes. Yeah, you're having one view of me, yeah, one particular view of me. Now switch eyes. Yeah, you're having a second view of me. You've got two different, they're different views, yeah?
Yeah.
Look at them, they're different. slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you open both eyes, of course, your mind fuses the two images, but you're actually having two images of me. Now, does each eye have its own consciousness?
Of course not.
Or is it one consciousness looking through two eyes?
It's just one consciousness.
Well, if it is your experience that a single consciousness looks through two eyes, it's only a small step from there to think that maybe a single consciousness looks through four eyes and six eyes and eight eyes, and the same consciousness looks through 8 billion eyes. You are already experiencing the fact that one consciousness looks through two perceiving faculties and sees two different images. So you already have you are already experiencing an instance of what I'm suggesting. So what I'm suggesting is not so,
I get it.
Inconsistent with your experience. It's just an extrapolation of it.
Yeah, I get it. And what about the words?
What about?
So I'm speaking, and you are answering. So where do these thoughts come from, or what do because words are thoughts. So there is actually, it's strange because now when I'm looking at it so directly, it feels like there is no person here and no person there. So I don't know who is talking to whom and where do these the words come from.
Dave, do you remember what I said this morning, that I think towards the end of the meditation, and the nature of reality, one of the names we could give to reality is love, this absence of otherness, this indivisibility, which is the experience of love. But when that love is filtered through perception and multiplicity appears, love then is then expressed in relationship. So love veiled is relationship, and relationship dissolved is love. Yeah? Are you with me?
Yes.
So reality is one, unity, whole, love. But when it's veiled by perception, it divides itself in two. And these two elements are now related to each other. So now there is relationship. But it's the same entity, the same single entity, that has divided itself or seems to have divided itself into two parts. But love is the foundation of that relationship. Love is the substance, the reality. Love is the substance of all relationships. Even when people hate each other, that love is the foundation of their relationship. They just don't know it because the sense of separation is so strong. They've been so duped by their perceiving faculties that they really feel they're separate. They don't realize that actually love is the, you know, Putin and Zelensky, they don't realize that they love each other. That's the tragedy of it. They love each other. Love is the foundation of their relationship, but they just don't know it.
And can I do both things at the same time? I mean, can I have a relationship with you, a conversation with you, and at the same time feel the oneness?
Yes, absolutely. You can feel the love that is the foundation of your relationship. You can feel that you share your being with the other, and that feeling can inform the quality of your relationship. Yeah, absolutely.
So the foundation is the oneness, the feeling of oneness?
Yes.
And then from a practical point of view, in order to have a conversation, there is the relationship is established, no? Okay, I get it.
So, Dave, the most important thing to know about anybody you meet, and this goes for your wife, your children, your wider family, your close friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your strangers, the people you feel neutral about, and the people you dislike, whether there are actual people in your life that you dislike, or there are people that you see on the news or read about who you dislike. The most important thing to know about everyone, without exception, is that you share your being with them. Is that they are you and you are them. That's the first thing to know about everyone. So whenever you meet anyone, just for a split second, remind yourself that your being and their being are the same being. Everyone. It just takes a moment. Just when you pass a stranger in the street and your eyes just briefly meet, when you pay for your groceries at the checkout, when you pay the taxi driver, when you come from the airport, when you check in your passport, when you are having a confrontation with a colleague at work, when one of your kids are being difficult, that everybody, in every circumstance, the first thing to know about that person is that you share your being with them. In other words, that you love them. Don't just understand that, feel it, and then you carry on the conversation, the relationship. Allow that single felt understanding to inform your relationship with them.
And when I do it, for example,
think what kind of a world we would live in. Think what kind of a society we would live in if just that single idea, that single simple principle was the foundation of all relationship.
And what is curious is when I feel it, even if it's just for a second, there is no sense of other person.
No sense
of other person.
Yes.
So you cannot, I cannot feel oneness with the other person. I can feel just closeness and, no?
The best sample you have of this is with your children. You don't feel separate from your children. You feel this oneness with your children. That's probably the best sample you have. But why just with your children? What is it you feel with your children? You feel that your children are your very own being. You don't feel separate. You literally feel that your child is your very own self. If your child is happy, you are happy. If your child is sad, you are sad. If your child is lonely, you are lonely. You are your child. You feel that. Anyone with a child feels that. But why just with our children? Do you think you just share your being with your children and not with your neighbor or your colleague? No, of course not. I don't mean that it's not appropriate to have a special relationship with your children that you can't have with everyone. I'm not implying that, but we share our being with everyone without exception. Of course, it's much easier to feel that with the people that we like or the people we're close to, but even the people we dislike intensely or the people whose actions we dislike intensely, we still share our being with them. And the reason those people are acting in the way that we so dislike is because they don't feel they share their being with everyone. It's precisely because they feel they don't share their being with everyone that they can behave the way they do. So if we don't feel that we share our being with them, then we're just the same as them, although not expressing it in such an extreme way. So I feel that those of us that are in touch with this understanding have a kind of loving obligation to love everybody unconditionally. If we can't do it, we cannot expect other people to do it.
Yes.
We cannot criticize the leaders of our nations for behaving the way they do. And the only reason they do behave the way they do is because they don't feel they share their being with everyone. And then at the same time, we don't feel we share our being with everyone. So we have this loving obligation, I feel, to love everyone unconditionally.
It's like a shift, no? You love everyone, but you don't like everyone.
Perfect.
No?
You don't have to like everyone. Of course, you don't have to like everyone, because whether you like someone or not is to do with your conditioning. So it's inevitable that there'll be some people you like or you feel more attracted to and some that you won't. That's natural. That's just the way the mind is. The mind is full of preferences, and that's natural. Preferences, inclinations, conditioning, and so on. But our being has no preferences. It has no conditioning. So, yes, we don't have to like everyone, but we do have to love everyone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
While having this conversation, I'm feeling like a lot of joy within.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.